Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
His name is David Luke Fladman, Commander of the Armies of the West, General of the Somerset Regions, loyal servant to the true Emperor, Thomas George Llewellyn Shanklin, father to a noisy cat, husband to a vegan, and he will have a salad in this life or the next. It's time for Flats and Shanks.
Right, good luck, everybody.
Thank you, Thomas.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode Shanks.
Four.
Is it? Are you sure?
Three
of season two, Flats and Shanks. Episode three, season two, Flats and Shanks podcast. I'm David Flatman.
Tom Shanklin.
And we got a guest, haven't we, Tommy?
We have. Let me do the intros. Wrote one down.
Oh, hang on. This will be good. Yeah.
Ian Richard Evans. I'm not giving it away already.
You meant to save that to the end. Yeah. This man was
2005 to 2014 Ospreys, scoring three tries, one every 3 years. Work that out.
That's a great record.
Better than mine.
2006 to 2016 Wales, 33 caps, one try.
What up?
On his debut, an intercept versus Argentina.
You can YouTube that one. That's
Was it good?
That is absolutely wonderful.
Scored it with attitude as well.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Scored it with attitude as well.
Did you get up and like, yeah.
Who did you gas?
I think it was a guy named Pishaw. Never heard of him.
Slow.
More or less seen the back heel of me.
He was pretty much on the way down then, wasn't he?
Doesn't work for World Rugby now. 2013, initially signs a contract with Toulon, but somehow ends up in Bristol.
Oh yeah, same thing.
Obviously, the flights got cancelled.
Couldn't fit you on a plane. Too tall.
You can get the same tan in Bristol, to be fair. It just costs you £6 for 20 minutes.
Just got to hang around with Gav, haven't you?
Yeah.
Gav Henson.
Or £20 for 6 minutes.
Tour of the Lions in 2013. I thought it was 2009, but...
2013.
Yeah. Best mates, Paul O'Connell.
Nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoop cheer for Ian Evans.
Whoop whoop.
They call you Yanto, don't they?
They do.
So why is that? I hope it's a good story.
It is probably a shit story, but my father's name's Ian, unfortunately.
What's your mum's name?
My mother's name's Linda.
Linda, what should we call our son? I don't know, like Ian? Yeah, call it Ian.
Just add a middle name into it.
Calling the same with you, is it?
So his nickname was obviously Yanto, and lo and behold, living.
All right, so why was his name Yanto?
Kind of like a Welsh nickname for Ian.
Oh, Yanto.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got it.
See, we used to have a mate called Gimpy. We've still got a mate called Gimpy. He's called Gimpy. And he's a big.
Seems a nice fella.
And he's a big geezer, and he's a right dodgy geezer. Lovely bloke, and he used to do when we were in the academy at Saracens. He used to do weights in the gym in a gold Rolex when he was like 19, like dodgy geezer. Why called Gimpy? And he used to tap his nose and say, "I'll tell you one day." And it was the worst story ever in the end. So he's like, he didn't tell anyone because everyone was always underwhelmed.
That's fair enough.
you might want to think about that.
No, I'm not.
They've got different names when Bart. Like, if someone's called Richard, they call him Dick.
Is that an impossible? Is that...
my old plumber in Bath, who's a governor of, one of the governors, or was governors of Bath Rugby, was called Richard Seaman. So it's either Rich Seaman or Dick Seaman. I used to love it. I used to love that. It used to make me laugh every time. I preferred Rich Seaman, actually.
Who was the guy, one of the sponsors at Bath? Brown Sword.
Yeah, the sword.
Yeah.
The sword.
How did you come up with a nickname like that?
But Pork Sword, we always
called him. It wasn't even a nickname. It was his real name.
It was actually real name. Yeah, I don't know why. He's great. He invented or created Hallmark greeting cards, like Hallmark cards and Forever Friends, and owns a lot of hotels. You're a great bloke. Yeah.
You're always sending them out, aren't you, to apologise? Something you've done.
Yeah. Sorry, you've got about a stack of them. Yeah. Sorry,
you buy them in bulk.
Sorry for treading on your windpipe. Sorry for losing it. Sorry you lost an eye. Ian, we'll be used to this though, Flats, because back in the day in the Ospreys, he created this, his own show.
Yanto's Yak.
Yeah. Yanto's Yak. You can still find them on YouTube, can't you?
Yeah, you can. You can still download them, I suppose.
You can find them.
You can find them. You can still get them.
So what actually came first, mate, the chicken or the egg? Because this was a question that you asked everyone.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't very good in school, was I? So I can't really give a scientific background towards that, but I'm going to just say the chicken.
Yeah.
Are we happy with that?
Yeah. I got you. Education was important, but rugby was importanter.
Thank you. Correct.
Yeah. Oh, so we don't know. All right, we don't.
What
do you reckon?
Eggs in one basket. Literally do it.
Yeah, don't count your eggs, guys.
Yeah, you can't make an omelette without breaking any eggs.
Yeah, better late than never. Better an empty house than a bad tenant. This is good stuff.
Excellent
this is
stuff.
Golden.
Excellent stuff.
Right, Yanto, what are you doing now? I mean, I already know secretly, but tell them.
Secretly, I'm just literally just twiddling my thumbs while coaching a little team. Up in the valleys, well, quite a big team really. That I'm going to give some plug in up in the Rhondda, Treorchy Zebras.
Treorchy, that is a best proper.
That's Gary Powell's territory, isn't it?
That's correct. That is Gary Powell's territory. Yeah. So that's
King of Cardiff.
One of his, the King of Cardiff. Yeah.
The King of Cardiff cars.
Any cars?
Yeah. He's your man, isn't he?
He's a man.
Yeah, like great lad, Powley.
Don't Google him though. So yeah, you're coaching up there.
I am coaching.
How are you going on?
I enjoy it, to be honest. It's pretty good to get out of the house, coaching with Andrew Bishop.
Bishop's there as well.
Yeah, another fellow Osprey, so I quite enjoy it.
The clamp.
What, he wouldn't pass it?
No.
Because if
he wanted to grab hold of you, that was it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The fly trap.
I'll never forget a game when you played.
Here we go.
So it's obviously Blues and Ospreys with massive games. Played down the Liberty, and I think you come on a hard line, and obviously the clamp clamped you, and that's all I could do was nugget shouting, "Great tackle, Bish!" Awesome tackle. So I was like, "Oh, fair play."
So Nugget's on Shanks' side.
Well,
and he says, "Great tackle."
Oh, I remember that.
Fair play. One of your many golden moments.
Swine flu.
Llama flu.
So what's your week entail then? You take out your little dog, Gerard.
Yeah, Gerard, the dog. Liverpool
supporter.
Liverpool supporter.
Oh, well
done. Named after Stevie G, the legend himself.
What sort of dog is he?
It's a Jack Russell.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so if you can picture a 6'7" man walking a miniature dog and do that. So, I take a dog for a walk.
A long lead, eh?
Yeah, very long lead.
How tall is your wife?
She's 5'7".
Okay.
Are you writing that down?
No, he's thinking about it.
He's thinking about something.
No, I was just thinking, like, remember, like, Moonraker, Jaws, and he goes out with that, the whole time, that little blonde girl.
Yeah.
That's the vision I got.
Yeah.
Thanks, Luke.
Is that because of his metal Jaws? Teeth? Yanto's metal teeth.
Metal teeth,
they're not, no. Teeth like a witch doctor's necklace.
It's actually a rod and a cable car. Anyway, so yeah, you walk the dog.
Yeah, obviously, kids' school run, and I'll just fulfil my days with... whatever the kids want to do, really, after I pick them up. So
when do you coach, on Tuesday, Thursday?
Tuesday and Thursday nights, 7 o'clock. You're more than welcome to turn up, anybody who's listening. We're always advertising for players.
Yep.
We can, more or less help any individual. Any individual.
Some are beyond help, but okay.
Do you make them do the what test? I used to love the Watt test.
I used to love the Watt test, yeah. Just flat up.
Is that because you were
terrible at fitness?
Absolutely. Oh, the Watt test, as in not Max Watts once?
No, it was like shuttle test running. And
The Watt test? You called Watt, not Watts as in Watt bike?
No.
Oh, right.
No. We're not Austin Healey and bloody Will Greenwood.
That's me
mate.
Now. We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay. Yeah. It's me now.
Obviously Shanks has got very good memories of me doing fitness tests.
We used to have a slow lane though, didn't we?
We did have a slow lane. Mostly I would put my hand to go in that slow lane.
Yeah.
So was it one of those ones where you've got a shuttle to do and you do one every 30 seconds and as much sooner you finish the more rest you get?
How would you describe it, Shanks?
It's one of those. You don't get much rest.
Anaerobic.
It's how fast you do depends on how much rest you get, but it's really short rest, like 15 to 30 seconds.
Do you remember doing that test when we were at Sarri's and you did it commando and you were running and every time you ran...
What was he doing at commando?
He just forgot his pants and he's like, oh, we're only doing this, only a 6-minute test, so he's doing it with his knob out the whole test. Do you remember?
do you remember
lightsaber.
Do you remember like the old school rugby shorts though? They used to come up high. He loved them when he started running. Well, everyone had them back then.
Oh yeah, they were all in.
And then the other time we were doing it and you shat yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Remember that? Also commando. You train commando a lot.
No, I didn't shit myself. I needed a poo in the woods.
Tommy,
for a poo.
Tommy, at Bramley Road, you shat yourself and you had shit on your legs.
It's a mole.
He had shit on his legs running in. Oh. With his funny face. With gum shield. Oh, God, you've got poo with him. The poo.
Now we've still got him in, don't we?
So you're coaching Tuesday, Thursday nights.
It's an ab workout.
Games
this is.
On a Saturday. Yeah, that's pretty much me at the minute.
How's the team looking?
Yeah, we're 3-3 at the minute. Won the league last year, just missed out on promotion.
100% lineouts at the moment.
Far from it, Shanks. At the minute, we're pushing in the lineouts and jumping in the scrums. So we're trying to rectify that problem, but it's a long season.
But you say you're doing nothing. I saw you on with your mate Sean Holly on Scrum Fire the other day, doing lineouts.
Yeah, that's correct. Little bit of bits and bobs. Lucky, fortunate enough to be on a podcast like this.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, it's
this is your window to the world, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, basically, this is my foot,
a stepping stone.
Yeah.
On you're not going to play.
I've got no interest whatsoever to put a pair of boots on and to run out and have someone trying to swat you for 80 minutes.
Yeah.
Nah, that's not for me anymore.
That's Yanto, he played for Wales. Let's knock his teeth out.
Let's knock his teeth out, yeah.
Let's try to.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Like, it's funny, you get, not people find it difficult to understand, but people are often surprised by, you play at really high level, a decent level, and you get there because you love it, but in the end it's your job.
Yeah.
And you stop playing, and I played a charity game recently. I did it for Gareth Steenson, and I said I would do it, and I don't regret doing it, but I walked off that field, and I was just walking around for 40 minutes. It was a bit of fun at Sandy Park, but I left my boots in the change rooms. I will never, ever play rugby again. I've just got zero interest in ever playing, but I still like it.
Bet you do. Bet something comes up really important.
Depends what the feet, really, depends really what the important. Wedges,
doesn't
it?
What are we talking? What's the Benson Burner? Yeah.
$5,000 a quarter.
Possibly, I could get that.
Nice little,
for $20,000 a game, I'd do 50 games a year.
Well, yeah.
I'd play Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday.
That's not bad, is it? If you get that.
Yeah, that's unlikely.
Oh, you were on a few beers last night as well, were you?
Yeah. Looking at me again. God.
Boss and team leader, shot and I had a few.
Ooh. Where'd you go?
Just into Penarth, but the reason why I went out for a few is because a mate of mine's been sacked from his job. I went out for a few beers. Yeah,
you feel guilty, no?
Thank you.
Get sacked. Don't spend loads of money. Obviously.
Thank you.
So you've taken him out in Penarth. I told him
I told him to listen to this. His name's Matthew Bennett. And he got sacked from his job, 7 years medical training, and he was struck off after one minor incident.
Really?
And it was sleeping with a patient. Now, him and this patient are good friends, but he can no longer work in the profession he loves.
Oh my God.
And what a waste of time and money spent for 7 years.
Yeah.
So went out there and had a few drinks with him, and he's an incredibly nice guy and still a brilliant vet.
Oh.
don't see this shit coming. Yeah. Like, it's a mile off.
There's
big windows in here as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what up, mate?
Yeah, so...
The thing is, Yanto, he tees him up, right? Because we were on the phone on the way up here when I'm in the car. And I was like, hey, dude, I said, I'm all right, mate. I'm a bit dusty. I went out of the piss last night. And he's like, me too. I was out in Penarth. I had a couple. And it was a good night, actually. I was like, yeah. He goes, yeah. I mean, I went out with the mate. But he sort of tees it up. It's like off air. He's still teeing it
he's
up.
Still going
I couldn't even go out.
it was just
totally made up. But I did... I got asked to do some stuff with DIY SOS.
Okay.
This is not
Friday.
A joke. This is true.
No, this is true, is it?
Right, sorry. Yeah.
So I know one of the ladies that was working on there. She was a family friend.
And Nick Knowles loves his rugby.
Nick, yeah. And she said, will you come down and help out? I was like, yeah, no problem. So went down there, pissing with rain. I can't say where it is because obviously you don't want to spoil a show and it's showing in November sometime. But
Swansea somewhere.
What? So I started...
I think it's been on social media anyway.
I think you actually said last week it was in Swansea.
No, I didn't.
You'd be a shit spy. You don't know if you did or not, do you?
No, I spoke to you on the phone. We had a conference call with Michelle.
Okay.
There you are.
I told her it's in Swansea in November.
So I went down there and kept asking me what skills I got. And what do you say? I said, like, you know, I'm a really good lifter. I can make tea and coffee and I can eat food. So you name one you want me to do.
Yeah.
So I helped out for ages, probably 3 hours. Alan Wynn was there the day
is
before.
Is this an actual story?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Alan
this
Wynn,
is right there.
Alan Wynn was there the day before, just had a couple of photos. I had a lug decking from the front of the building to the back of the building for ages. In the piss.
What are you
rain.
Getting out of that? Just putting something back in.
Putting something
community.
Back. I thought I'd get to meet Nick Knowles, but he wasn't even there.
So he wasn't his time.
Nick Knowles wasn't even there.
No, he was at some master. He was at some master builders convention, which isn't a Lego convention.
So what? Yeah. So who interviewed you? And what?
No one interviewed me. I just helped out. Just helped out the boys.
So you just turned up for,
so you could be on telly.
No, I wasn't. No, they didn't have a camera crew.
What?
you've obviously mistimed this. All.
Hang on. There was no press, no camera, no Nick Knowles.
I met Mark Miller, who's on the show, an Irish guy from Northern Ireland.
Oh, nice.
Right.
Yeah. But no, just I do stuff like that. Like a missionary
you
work
don't.
Now
you
and
thought
again.
You were going to be on telly?
Yeah.
Not at all.
Unlucky, right? Yes, you did. You did. Just be honest with our listener. Yeah.
No.
Was our listener?
No, not at all. I'm not like that. You know that.
You know.
The charity cricket game at the weekend.
Oh, nice.
Do you play cricket? You can probably just do that naked, can't you? do people need a sight screen when you're fielding?
Played up in Monmouth at a guy called James Hull at his house. Lovely house.
Hully. Oh,
yeah.
Hi, Hully.
The Hullster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a lovely house, Hully.
Rod, we call him.
Oh.
Why? Where's he from, Hully?
KR, we call him.
Where's he from?
Hull KR.
We got it.
He's from Wales.
Is he?
So we had a chat with a few of the Glamorgan boys up there.
So you play cricket in his backyard?
Yeah, he's got a cricket pitch in his back garden.
Haven't you?
The funniest thing was, Devon Malcolm and Glasson Small was there.
It's the maintenance, isn't it? Were they? Was Glasson Small still got no neck and big shoulders?
No, real long neck now.
Has he?
Yeah, stopped doing weights. He's got no neck.
And Devon Malcolm?
Devon Malcolm.
So
the funniest thing was, they were trying to give Devon Malcolm a catch. So
yeah,
they were hitting it up to him. He was like on the boundary. It took him 3 attempts to catch the ball.
At any point did you shout, "You played for England"?
No, I didn't. I was just trying to catch with his elbows.
Turn your hands around, Dev.
So playing that, and that's it, mate. But you've had a fairly exciting week, haven't you?
Exciting is no, it's not the word I would use. I've had a bloody tough week.
Oh, to America, isn't he?
By the way, I'm coming off. I worked out. I'm coming off. I arrived here last night. Last night I went to bed at midnight because I'm a lad. Because I went out last night, and that was the first time I had slept in 38 hours, which is quite punchy when you got to get up at 5 because your kids are psychos and they need to go to school. And,
yeah,
but
it's a tough
but I'm a great guy. But I'm a great guy, so I'm here. Went to Philadelphia for the Aviva Premiership match out there.
Did you see Tom Hanks?
He was there. Balboa was there. Are you still... Is this your Tom Hanks impression you're doing now? No, I mean, inappropriate jokes aside, I do... I was worried about getting AIDS going out there. But
you can only catch it once.
But I don't. I tell you what.
It's not from the monkeys.
But I tell you what. Last time I had it, I couldn't eat for a week. I don't want that again.
No.
I don't want the good one. So it was, yeah, we went out there. It was a funny one, actually, because I basically, it was done on not the TV, like basically it was done on a bit of a shoestring from the TV side. So by that, I mean, it was done properly, but it was, they didn't send out loads of people. So I did Channel 5, the highlight show from there with Bert Dunn Smith.
So it's like doing your weekly shop in Lidl or Aldi, something like that.
I wouldn't know, mate. Okay. Honestly. It's just £2 to park at Waitrose, and there's always space in bars, so you just go there, don't you?
Yeah.
No, we did actually go. I did actually go to Aldi the other week with Lidl, whichever, with my missus. She's like, seriously, it's actually quite good.
It's actually really good, mate.
It's actually shit.
It's just cheap. I think it's good.
It's shite because you have to go to another shop afterwards.
They haven't got anything on site.
It's like Ball Lake.
Yeah, but you can buy like wellies, or you can buy like.
So when you go and shop, and let me get this now, you're always going to look for a pair of wellies.
You can buy overalls. They haven't got any chicken breasts, but they've got overalls.
It's like Costco. You go in there for one thing and come out with something else.
Yeah, it's just like. The food, fine. I'm not worried about the food or that sort of stuff. It's just like, I'm sure it's good, but there was no free range chicken in there. It was all battery chickens, which I'm not that keen on because I'm a great guy. I don't mention that. But also, they had about three ingredients we needed. We wanted to make like burritos or fajitas or something.
They didn't have
But they didn't have guacamole and sour cream. I mean, who doesn't have sour cream in a fucking supermarket? Anyway.
Oh, yeah. I find when you go to, there's one supermarket that you go down the aisles and it's like literally the people have three eyes. Or perhaps that's where I just come from.
That's where I come from, I think.
Yeah. I do think like when you go in like Lidl and Aldi, it's quite good because when you go in the supermarket, it feels like you're abroad.
Yeah, it's true.
Good point.
It feels like you're in Calais getting loads of cheap plonk.
Yeah, you don't know what they are. They don't have Twixes or anything like that.
They've got
the dime bars, but spelt wrong. D-A-I-M. Yeah. Dime.
And like Twixes are called jive bars.
But anyway,
I don't mind it.
not interested. I went to... So basically what it means is that I did the highlight show on the... Saturday for Channel 5 from there with Mark Dunn Smith, and I did the BT commentary and I did a pre-match hit, which means you basically film a chat just for 5 minutes, but you do it pre-match and they put it in whatever jam, they edit it in there. So I was kind of doing all that, and while it wasn't difficult, it means that because everyone's made the effort to go over there, they don't just want to, here's the game, commentate, go home. They want to do a little feature so they can add it into the start. And we said, oh man, sort of thing, with Sarah and whatever. So what do you do when you go to Philly? You put the fat bloke in a grey tracksuit and hoodie and you make him do the Rocky Balboa steps, right? So a genius idea that Channel 5 had. Also a genius, which Perform actually, the production company, also a genius idea that BT Sport had. They both had exactly the same idea. So we get to Philadelphia and it's fully expecting it for some reason to be reasonably mild in terms of temperature.
Yeah.
And it is fucking boiling, like it is so hot.
Really,
it's so hot that I'm too hot now, but it's so hot you got like women and children are walking around town and they've got their clothes are wet through. Everyone is wet through walking around town. It was, when we got to the pitch, it was 96 degrees.
It's not just a midday,
was it? 96 degrees and 90% humidity.
The mothers haven't just been reading 50 Shades of Grey, have they?
No. Okay, so you get there, so it's like, right, can you run up and down this, put this hoodie on? And we've got you this tracksuit, fleece lined.
Yeah, I saw it.
Fleece lined. Right, so they're like, right, hood up.
Yeah.
And we need you to run up and down the steps. I ended up doing 9 ascents of those steps, and it was like 33 degrees, and it's on like basically naked stone, so it's just boiling hot. And it was just, but it was quite good fun, but it was brutal.
One of those things you can say you've done, though. Yeah. So it's an amazing film.
That's off the bucket.
Yeah. It was good fun. But then you're filming a link and then you're like, right, can you get your tracksuit off and put your suit on, please?
Oh.
I was like, oh, brilliant. Yeah, film another one.
Do you know what would have been better? If you could have got some school involved and all the kids running behind you.
Yeah, we did think about that. But then there's a bit where he just sprints off because he's so motivated and outruns them, and that would be the bit where I struggled. I couldn't outrun them. And I'd probably pop a hammy or something.
Yeah.
So did all that. But it was good. But it was... I won't bore you with all the details because it's this long enough story already, but it was a very, very long day, but a good day. It's a funny old experiment, that, because it's...
So what you're saying is that it wasn't as glorified as people make out.
Oh, shit, no. I mean, I got back in the taxi after the game, And after the press conference and stuff and all that, and you got back in the taxi, and I was properly broken, like absolutely, and I was gagging to go out and get on it with the lads and stuff, and I was like properly broken. I was like, lads, I'll come out for one pint. Got back to my hotel and dropped my bags off, and I looked at the bed and I was like falling asleep in the taxi.
Yeah.
And 5 hours later, we were playing Gin Face in an Irish bar.
Have you heard
smashed
of that?
No.
Go on, Flats, tell us what it was.
So you get 10, think of an even number, 10, 12, whatever. And you get, say you got 10, you get 5 shots of gin and 5 shots of water.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right, and you're sitting in a big circle around a square around a table. I take a shot and I can smell it, so I know you don't know what it is. They're all in the middle, you can't tell which is which. I take a shot and you, to my left, guess from my facial expression. Now I can act, I can try and cover it up, I can double bluff, triple bluff, bluff, whatever.
Yeah.
From my facial expression, you have to call gin or water. And it could be anything. I don't know which one it is. So I pick it up not knowing. So I pick it up and I sniff it and it's water and I think, happy days. Or gin, you think bollocks, is neat, gin is minging.
Yeah.
So the next person next to me calls gin or water from my face. He looks at my face and says, is he bluff? Because you get a little facial expression sometimes anyway when you drink something rank. So if he gets it wrong, so he says gin and it's water, he gets it wrong, he has to drink a shot, take a shot, and it's a free shot. So no one has to guess anything. He's just wrong. So he could pick up a gin and have to do a gin for getting it wrong.
Oh.
So if he gets it right, I then have to do another shot and it could be anything again. So I could end up doing 2 gins. He could end up being wrong doing a gin. He then turns to his left and the whole process starts again. So you do get to a point where you realise there are 4 shots of gin gone and no waters.
What if he gets it right?
If he gets it right, I drink again. Fine. So my punishment. But you test it because everyone, after you do the shot, because you could lie because they all look the same, but everyone smells the glass.
And we'll put the rules up later, on the site. But then you were scrummaging later, and that's what I love about rugby union. That's what I love. You know, Flats just decided to take on some random people.
I always said I'd never be that guy doing scrums in a pub.
Yeah. I love that about you and rugby union.
Just loves the game. Just loves it. Just
anyway,
loves it.
Wayne, one of the lads from Prem Rugby, he's like, look, we've got these ladies every year that used to play. I think one of them played for Wasps or England or whatever years ago. And they want to just have Alex Corbusiero was there. And
do you want to pause this?
No.
Okay, carry on.
On the record, they want to do a scrum with you and Corbs. And I was just like, no. Corbs is like, not that keen to do that. You know. And they were like, he's like, look, lads, I know you don't want to be that guy. Can you just get Dirt as your hooker and just do it?
Did you go on the right or the left?
I went tight.
Nice.
Corbs pulled rank.
Alpha Jew.
But also, I'm also an internationally capped tighted. So no problem. I said, Corbs, you haven't got caps on this side, mate.
I got this, mate.
Yeah.
fair play.
So it only got awkward. And I think I can say this. Can I say this on the pod? I was pissed. So you're not awkward when you're pissed. You know, everything's, and these girls were great value and they were boozing us. They were really, really good fun. And then when they kind of did this little bind up for this pretend scrum, and the one opposite me had the most like massive, this is really appropriate, the most noticeable asset, no, boobs basically.
Mammary glands.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh my God, what are they? And she's like, I know. So she's like, bind up, and sort of headed. It was kind of like, I felt really awkward because Sarah and everyone are watching, and I was just like, look away.
Yeah.
But, isn't it basic of if you're scrumming in the prop, don't you have to get your head into their chest?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm you know me, Anto. Good point. You saw me play. I was flat out on nothing.
Yeah.
And I fully went for it. Yeah.
It's always awkward when you're playing mixed touch. I always find, because like sometimes you react to touch and then.
Yeah, but like your ears aren't normally rubbing on them.
Yeah,
that's a bit awkward.
Yeah, it is a bit awkward.
But yeah, it was good. It was good crack. And Sarah was out, and Sarah had a few drinks, and she's great value after a few drinks. Like, she's legend. So But Philadelphia, ultimately, Tommy, let me say this: good time. Glad I went. I will not be rushing back because I think that is it might offend a few people. This, I think that is a city in decline. It's a pretty, pretty average spot, if you ask me. There you go.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Yeah. Big end, some rugby action, aren't we?
Yeah, and before we do, I reckon we should grill Yanto on every single player. He might, hopefully he's done his research and watched all the Premiership games.
Yeah, he would have. But before we do, did anyone see that Raka try for Claremont?
Yeah. Yeah. Nick Abendanon took a quick line out, didn't he?
Yeah. Assist.
I knew my Bendy would be something to do with. Do you see that try, that Raka? Yeah. Frigging hell.
Johnny Hammond called him Albert Raka, but it looks like Alavirateri Raka. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's like
Fijian isn't great. Yeah,
but it's like, do you remember the Tongan prop at Worcester, Tavita Tomopiao? Or Tomopo, I think it was Tomopiao.
Yeah, okay.
And they were like, how do you say your name? And he was like, in a team meeting, was like, how do you say your name? And he's like, no, Tomopiao, sort of thing. And he was Tomopiao. Right. And they're like, Tomopiao, Tomopiao, Tomopo, no, Tomopiao. And he was like, what's Tavita mean? He's like, Tongan for Dave. So everyone just called him Dave. So we used to hit in the scrum, and he was like strong as, he's so strong. I remember hitting him in a scrum, and he was like, hey Dave, because we had the same day we had our first baby, and I had to play that night, and so like literally got the baby home at 3:30, and I was out the door in a taxi at 3:45.
Glad I cleared up those, yeah.
Right, I remember I had 15 minutes at home with a kid. Anyway, so and Dave was playing, and I was like, I hope that big Dave takes it easy, and he's like, boom, 2, 3, 4, hey. Dave, you had a baby. Yeah, congratulations, man. I said, cheers, Dave. Okay, Dave. And they said, I'll only play. I hadn't been to sleep all night because of the birth.
Whatever. Yeah.
And they're like, you only got to play 40 minutes because we've only got a kid on the bench, because Nathan Catt was really young then. And I played 72 minutes and got largely, on my 100th game, that was largely tuned up by Big Dave. That wasn't easy.
Still got man of the match, though, so well done.
Yeah.
No biggie.
Didn't get man of the match that night. I fell asleep at half time. I fell fast asleep, dropped off, and Martin Hug kicked me in the shin to wake me up.
Meditating, were you? Visualising.
I was very, 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 very tired.
New Zealand 57, South Africa 0. Wales lose to New Zealand by that much.
No, that's a
they probably will next time.
That was incredible.
Yeah,
I actually don't like it. I like South Africa being a power. But I want to go to South Africa on the Lions trip in 4 years. There's no point in going if they're toilet, is there?
It was just disgusting to watch how good they were. Disgustingly good. All across the board.
Yeah.
Brodie Retallick's try from Ione Break.
Neddy Milner Scudder's try.
Bowden Barrett out the back door.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, 99.
It was just too easy.
Yeah.
It was way too easy. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. It's a bit of a freak result. South African rugby's in a bit of a shocking state, but it's not 57-0 type state. People panic in times like this. I think, I think they will find they'll find a way to get through.
I didn't watch Australia and Argentina, but Yanto did.
Correct.
Did you?
I did.
Oh, wow.
You sound really surprised. That was the actual game. I missed the first game.
Australia won though, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
Yeah.
Any good?
First off, they were really poor, to be fair to them. I think Checker, they interviewed him. I think it was 5 minutes before halftime.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely fuming with them, saying,
There's
no agency with them, nothing whatsoever. But he would have done some talking in change rooms, and they did come out pretty a different team, really.
Like, at least the Aussies have got some real class players, mind. You know, I know they're probably not performing to their capability at the moment, but you look at that team, and it is full of stars, mate.
Wales have got them.
Wales have got them in the autumn. And actually England got them as well, haven't they?
Australia
are
too
scared to play New Zealand.
They're not playing well, Australia, at the moment, compared with where they should be, but they'll still beat Wales, I would have thought.
They've still got Beale, they've still got Folau, they've still got Kurundrani, Still you got meant, Foley.
You meant to be offended by what I just said. You missed it. You just think it's automatic.
Sometimes I switch off. Like when you said you fell asleep at half time.
You switch off. You remembered it though, didn't you? What time did I leave in a taxi?
3:30 at the door, 3:45.
Thank you. Yeah. So, you switch off, mate. All goes in, doesn't it? All goes into that funny old cue ball.
So talk about some of the results.
Yeah, let's not go overboard.
No, we're not.
Quinn's beating Wasps at the Rico is a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see the Marla Haskell?
Yeah, I did see that. It sounds a bit
something naughty. Like you'd be involved in something like that, wouldn't you?
No, I don't think so. No. To be fair to Haskell, you can't blame him for reacting with that.
No.
You can't.
What, do you not even think it was a tiny little grab of the hat that Marla did, like a little, use it one finger just to tug it.
Yeah, but then he's saying, get off the hat, get off that, and he won't get off it. So what you're doing is you're...
He wasn't saying get off the hat, he just tugged it once.
But you're alpha maling someone, aren't you then?
Yeah.
It's like, get off. I'm alpha maling you. I'm not worried about you. You are not a threat.
But then after, when they started rolling on the floor and doing MMA,
he's probably
grabbing his hat then.
Yeah. See Haskell shoot and then flip and get the, like, ended up in half guard.
That's what I would do.
He knows his stuff, Haskell.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Get on top.
That is the key. Yeah.
I tell you what, you wouldn't want to fight with Haskell, not because he's just a unit, because he does a lot of MMA. I've seen him doing MMA training and stuff. He would know what he was doing, and he's a G unit.
Yeah.
So he'd be good, I reckon. I just, the whole incident was a bit mucky, and you can't throttle someone not to get a yellow card.
It was a proper, like, Homer Simpson on Bart Simpson throttle.
You son of a...
It's just obviously with Marla, wasn't it? With the squirt of the water. I'm not sure if he should have had it.
Yeah.
I know. Are you gonna bin someone for
They're
that?
They're mates as well, though.
Yeah, they are.
He's had a retrospective yellow card now, Joe. I think I read that this morning.
Okay.
He's been given a retrospective yellow for it. I don't know about that. He's just squirted water and he's winding someone up. You're going to yellow card people for a bit of water, a bit of sledging or something?
The water wasn't in the face. It was on the chest. It was a tiny bit.
It was just... But it is annoying, and Haskell lost the plot.
Yeah.
We cannot on this podcast condone violence in rugby.
I
wish they'd had a massive full on punch up, don't you? It would have been so good to watch.
Yeah, I think everybody likes that, don't they?
Everyone
loves
it. I think
that's what's missing out of the game at the minute.
Everyone loves it.
In a controlled environment.
Everyone loves it.
With a referee. Yeah.
Everybody loves it.
It's like ice hockey, you know, when they kick off, it's like literally one on one. As one of them hits the floor, that's it then.
Leave them, don't you? They leave them until one goes down.
Yeah. And we don't condone violence.
No.
But years ago, right, Yanto, at Sarri's, when Shanks and I were there, do you remember this? We had Julian White and Danny Grewcock in our team, whatever. We were just, there were, and Tony Copsey before that, and there was just always a bit of scrapping, and P and I loved to fight and whatever. That there was this massive fight one day against Tigers at Watford, and we were all like swinging and hitting nothing. And Ryan Constable was in there brawling, and Francois and Richie Wallace was in there brawling. And after that, there was like this talk at the club, and there was basically like a little meeting about this big fight that had happened. And it was like, guys, you know, we're not happy about this, whatever it was. And the whole we thought it was going to be a bollocking for the fight, and actually, it was there. You know, there are six guys who did nothing to help.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see that again. Next time, Francois was like, I want you in there. I want you trying to kill people, okay? I want you killing people. I want everything you got into that fight. We cannot be beaten up at Watford. You sort of thing. And it was like, scary. Anyway, so then after that, I'm always presuming Francois sorted this out. But every time there was a fight, they played the Rocky music.
That's right.
And there's nothing that makes you want to fight more than Rocky Balboa.
Or running up in those steps.
Yeah. But in the end, it's like there's a little scuffle, there'd be a pushing and shoving, and they're so quick on it, it's like, and you hear it, and you're like, I'm going to crack someone in a minute. You know, you miss anyway.
Yeah.
But it used to suit you up. So after a season, they stopped that because it just made everyone whack everyone all the time.
Condoning violence.
Yeah, promoting, actually. Yeah.
Do you see Wasps losing that one?
Nope. Didn't see Wasps losing that. Quinn's did brilliantly. Marcus Smith, that young 10, looks like a lovely little player.
Yeah.
He's little. I watched him playing for England 20s, and he is little, which is all right. Which is okay.
Marlon Yard had his best game for a while.
Yeah.
Defensively and in attack. You see him mowing down, Watson?
Nice tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the turn as well.
Yeah. So he's playing well, Marlon, actually. He's played well since the start of the season. Good game, that.
It was a real good game.
The best bit of it was the Marla and Haskell thing. I mean, that was the best bit.
It's close all the way through, though.
Yeah, no, I didn't see Wasps losing that. And they've got a load of injuries now.
Mm.
So Cipriani's out.
3 months, he reckons.
Up to 3 months.
I was watching him. He's so good in attack.
Yeah.
Quite quiet in defence, obviously. But yeah, attack, he's dangerous, isn't he? Like the balls he throws, the delayed passes, just bringing Watson through for Wage try was incredible. And then they did it again, and the next time then, he missed Watson, hit it out wide, and that's when Yard made the tackle, but makes such good decisions.
Yeah, people go spend a lot of time saying how good George Ford is in attack, because he is. He's brilliant on the front foot. But I actually reckon
Cipriani's up there. I agree.
Cipriani's
probably a little bit better.
Better, I reckon.
Yeah. On the front foot, yeah, he's massive.
Yeah, mega player. They lost Reader as well. Alex Reader, the back
row. Yeah, I saw that.
He's a quality player. He's dislocated his shoulder.
Funny eyes.
Is he?
That's what you said.
Did I? And he's a funny looking bloke, actually, all round. He's out. That's bad. And who else have they lost? They lost Tommy Taylor's injured, isn't he, coming? But anyway, they've got horrible injury. Dan Robson's injured as well. But they got Simpson come in. That they'll do it right. But they're I didn't see him losing that.
No,
they're,
nor
they're
going to
lose sometime.
Nor did you see Bath losing to Northampton.
No, you called that, didn't you?
I called it.
We have a little bet every week, Minto, and Shanks called safe.
I overruled him last week to say, because Bath had a couple of real big games against Saracens and Leicester. And I just thought, it's another big game against Northampton. It's going to be tough after those two. And they went in it all the way through.
Saints, great. Luther,
nothing in the tank. Well. They had.
Tom Collins is good.
Northampton had plenty in the
winger.
Tank.
Yeah, plenty in the
tank.
Plenty in the tank.
Oh, you know the try Collins scored last week? You know, with the 1-2.
Yeah.
Danny Solomono did that for Sale.
Denny. Yeah. Who is Danny Solomono? Is that a relative?
Is he on Greece?
I think it's actually his wife. It's his wife.
Was he
Greece?
Is John Travolta playing on Greece?
That's right. And that was Denny Zuko.
All right.
That's right. Yeah.
Was he Karate Kid? I don't know.
That is
anyway. But yeah, Denny.
You're all right, Solomona.
LaRusso. Denny LaRusso. Sorry, Danny, I know he listens to this.
If he listens to it, which he definitely does not, I'd quite like to see him celebrate his next try with a Karate Kid crane kick.
What do you know about Ribbons, man of the match?
Yeah. Second row, Ribbons, man of the match.
Heard
you were obviously watching Yanto, weren't you?
I missed that game.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Not seen too much of him, really, but...
No, he's played a few games, but he hasn't had a performance like that yet.
No.
Ribbons, plays for Saints.
He's
scored 2 tries at the weekend.
He was class.
Is he athletic?
He's big, athletic, carries real hard, gets the ball away.
You're perfect second row.
Loves a little jackal, loves a big hit.
Is he?
Yeah, he's good.
Northampton started off pretty shite, didn't they? But then, like, Timon Harrison was good, Malander was good.
Timon Harrison's best when he looks like really, really pissed off, because then he's so hard to put down. And Pinay is such a good carry.
Laws.
Courtney Laws, right?
There's not often that training, that move would work, because so many teams, you know, like, they hit the midfield and the coach is saying, right, go back blind, the space is there. And when eventually you go back blind, there's never any space,
never any
there,
space there
whatsoever.
Everybody's covered it up.
Yeah. But Laws' try was exactly that. Hit the middle, straight back to Laws.
He's actually playing, I reckon. You might disagree with this.
Ewells was sucked in, though. Ewells made a bad defensive
He's
call.
Right, his first game back, I think.
All right. Okay.
Courtney Laws, I reckon, is playing better than he...
I think when he came back off that Leinster, I think he's... I thought on the Leinster he played exceptionally well.
Yeah.
I thought he's a bit unlucky in some selection issues, but I thought he's playing outstanding, to be fair to him. Yeah, I agree with that.
Do you reckon he's a six or a second row?
He's a 5.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think he's a second row, isn't he? He's nailed that. I think a six might be a little bit step up internationally, a little bit too far for him, I think.
Yeah, it's funny because you look at him. I always thought Courtney, great line out forward, because he's 6'7", doesn't weigh a lot, and he's got long arms, right?
Yeah.
And he can catch. So that makes you a good line out forward. You know, it doesn't, but it helps.
Yeah.
So you could look at Courtney and think, how could you not be a good line out forward? I mean, I don't know. He calls line outs now, but as a prop, he's very easy to put up, keep up. So you win a lot of ball if your throwing's good and your drill's good. And he was a big hitter. And then he sort of still hits big, but he started becoming actually a better defender, because for a season or two, he was flying in for massive hits and missing quite a lot of tackles.
Yeah.
Then he became a really good defender, and now he carries, like, he properly carries now. He didn't used to carry a lot.
Do you remember Xavier Rush taking his head off?
Yes, I remember. The red card.
Yeah, got red card. I'll show you later. I'll try and put it on
the link
on Twitter.
You keep talking, because I'm going to try and find it now.
He just comes flying out the line and clotheslines him, takes his whole head off.
Take his whole head off?
Yeah.
I think he was still left on him.
Is no, there you go. That's a.
Did it actually
he was out when he was.
They had to get Luca tape because it's the strongest tape. tape it back on. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Xavier Rush tackle. Yeah. On, is it Xavier Rush?
Yes. No, Jennifer.
Hey. Oh, you can hear this on.
It's huge.
Oh, Foden! What a run!
I know, but here we go.
Right, here we go.
You're actually watching the game. Mood,
chucking it out, Myler. Yeah. Oh! Jeepers!
He's off.
So, yeah.
Rushy, can I call him Rushy?
Yeah, he can.
Rushy is just absolutely nailed.
He's seen red. He's come flying out the line and just annihilated the poor bloke.
Right, it's waiting for a slow-mo. Yeah. Hang on, this is great podcasting, guys.
Yeah, okay.
Can you just wait for me? I'm just looking. Is that Alain Rolland, the ref? No. Romain Poit.
Come on, Dave.
bit of shoving.
This is dead air now, mate.
No, it's not, mate. It's all right. I just want to see the replay. Okay, people don't mind.
We'll turn it down and we'll carry on about the rest of the podcast then.
All right, well, okay. It's all about you, is it? Well, it's all about the listeners all of a sudden, is it?
Yeah, exactly that.
Well, carry on then.
Yeah, so Northampton 24, Bath 6. Back up there now. So Newcastle Saracens.
Yeah.
Talk us through the grass, mate.
The grass.
Apparently, like, everyone's harping on about the grass.
I think it was called like Palace Brazilian or something like that. Nick Mullins knows exactly what the grass was. Did a bit of research.
Brazilian.
Yeah. Everyone's favourite.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cut pretty short.
There's grass on the wicket. No. Anyway.
Tom. Jeepers. So it was. Yeah. The problem in Philadelphia was
cricket the weekend, mate.
It was so hot that the lads were sweating so much they were drenched. Yeah. And I had a feeling that sometimes you play when it's that sweaty, you can't. It's even worse than rain because it's just greasy.
Yeah,
and the lads couldn't catch the balls. The ball was just getting knocked on all the time.
It's a bit like next door in the Prince Bally Stadium. When the roof's closed, it does become really humid, doesn't it? Even though the grass is dry, the sweat, you know, makes the ball greasy. So it's like that.
Sensation, like.
Well, yeah. I've just seen a replay of that rush hit on Courtney.
6,000 people turned up.
Naughty.
Success? I suppose it's the stuff we don't see that they did, the school visits and
6,000 people. I'm always, it's like guessing someone's age. I'm always crap at guessing a crowd. If they say it was 6,000, it was 6,000. Didn't look like 6,000 to me. But
you're lower.
But it looked lower. But I've been, I worked at Bath for a couple of years, and this is a little trade secret.
Ooh.
But I used to have these meetings about tickets, and it was like, we're not getting any walk-up tickets. Why does no one walk up? And it's like, well, there's a public perception.
Yeah.
A bit of research showed, which was no research at all, was that everyone thinks that Barca sell out every week.
Yeah.
Which you do, don't you? You'd imagine it sells every week.
It does look fairly full.
And people always say they could sell double. They could sell 30,000 down there because it's Bath. You know, it's just a small ground. The truth is, they used to declare sellouts when they weren't sellouts.
Okay.
So if it's near enough, they sell it out, which means that it makes them look good in the short term, but it means nobody walks up to buy tickets because they think it's going to be a sellout.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yanto, how old was Bruce Forsyth when he died?
83.
Hiya.
Oh, Christ.
Brilliant. Comedy gold.
Oh, Christ.
Anyway, sorry, carry on.
But yeah, it's the stuff. It's all the stuff like, you know, the pro players and the big names going out and coaching kids and introducing them to rugby. Yeah. And sort of stuff. And it's one of those things, it's not a grown sport, it's growing. And you don't need it to establish a massive percentage of market share over there, which it won't because they've got, or for a long time anyway, because they've got the other big sports they love. But there are so many bloody people there, just sheer number.
What, covered in blood?
Yeah. Oh, God. Pathetic.
See, from Braveheart, is it?
Oh, God. There are so many people there, sheer weight and numbers, that if you could get a reasonably small market share, that would be a disaster here, but there is a lot of people. So, and there's also chat. How about this? Now?
Yes.
There's also chat of a team apparently from Philadelphia or the States, but Philadelphia, I've heard, joining the Pro 14 and making it the Pro 15. Have you heard that, Yanto?
I read it. Was it in this week's paper? Yeah, I did read something. Another team from Germany.
Germany.
Strong people, strong race.
Mm. Apparently they're all like Ivan Drago.
Yeah,
they're all like.
Yeah, so I think the Pro 14
16.
You might be 16, though. I think they're obviously trying to branch right out.
I mean, the biggest thing they're trying to do is entice the English clubs in eventually, but there's no.
Why would an English club join?
Yeah, I know, but that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it tempting for them to join. But I agree with you, at the moment they wouldn't, because they got a thriving league and it's good. But
so watching the Scarlets, I know that.
But that's where the revenue comes from.
But you watch the Scarlets in particular, and you think they could come into the Premiership and. They could dominate and win games.
I don't know. I think you say that. I think week in, week out, I think that Premiership is so relentless. It's so tough. It's demanding. Every team's playing for something. Obviously, last season, the way it worked out, I'm going to stick my neck on the line. I think some games are not as tough as you would face within the Aviva Premiership.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from me personally.
Yeah. Okay.
Controversial.
Yeah, okay. No, that's all right. But then
Scarlets lost at the weekend as well.
Yeah, they lost to
Ulster,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's funny because we used to play against the Welsh teams, and you do watch videos of them playing club matches and league matches. And it was like the first experience I had was playing against Cardiff, actually, when it was still Cardiff, and watching their videos, and it was like they are full of international players. They are rubbish. Like, they have got nothing to threaten us. And we played against them 2 weeks in a row and they battered us twice. They were on it. And it's like, wow, they really take these European games seriously.
Yeah, but I think you've probably got that English and Welsh rivalry coming into it as well.
Yeah, they also hated us quite a lot.
Which is slowly dying out the game a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Ian's still got it.
Yeah, I still love it. But
my mum was conceived in Pontypool, so we've got
you're probably brothers.
Yanto is not people like you out to get the fights.
He's had bigger dinners.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you watched the Ospreys this weekend, didn't you?
Yeah, I watched the Ospreys against Munster. And
what was that like?
I think from the Ospreys' point of view, I think it was a really poor performance. And I think Steve Tandy came out and publicly criticised his players for that performance.
Oh, shit. I always think that's beginning of the end stuff. Were
any of the big names playing for the Ospreys?
Daniel Bigger come on, but he literally come on for about 8 minutes from.
Okay, yeah, save us the game, win it for us.
Win it for us, Dan. But unfortunately, the game had gone from them. Sam Davis did start at 10. Very good player, and you had Hockey.
Yeah,
Hockey did play exceptionally.
Sort of tried, didn't he?
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, something like a Barry John would have done.
Yeah,
literally seen off the cuff, bit of a gap, and he just took it and scored a try.
But he's class, isn't he?
And you had Corey Allen on the outside of him, so you had two international centres, if you really want to call you can call it that, but it was a really poor performance from them.
So, criticising his own players, not playing well, Shanks, I'll ask you this, is Steve Tandy's time up?
He's still got a little bit more time left, I think.
How much?
Probably till Christmas, I reckon, because it's a slow start, but it's not the end of the league. The Blues lost first three.
Yeah.
No, everyone's not shouting to get rid of Danny Wilson. It's just a poor start and the players aren't really playing that well. They're making silly errors like drop balls, poor passes, stuff that players making these bad decisions that are quite old players as well. So it's not as if you can improve their passing. It's just concentration levels, execution.
But then it does come a point when teams stop playing well, even though they're good players, and you think, are they actually responding to their management now? You're a coach now, Yanto. The thing is, Ospreys is a big club in a big league, but if you want to attract a top coach, there are thousands of coaches that would bite your arm off to have Steve Tandy's job, but how many top coaches right now would want that job?
I wouldn't imagine it'd be a lot unless. Yeah. I think it all comes down to financial implications as well, doesn't it? I mean, I think within Welsh rugby, I think all the money's been dried up a little bit. And I don't know who would actually come in instead of him, really, if you're asking that question. And lastly, you've got Reese Webb. He's out of contract, and there's been media speculation about him. He's going to be leaving. If I'm going to be a better man, I'd say he won't be with the Ospreys next season.
Yeah.
Bath, I heard.
Did you?
Never know.
Did you?
Yeah.
So,
it'd be a great signing, that would.
And you've got Dan Bigger, who's left. You got a massive player then, which is Alan Wynne-Jones. Is he going to say, right, then I want to finish my career with the Ospreys, or is he going to go for
Toulon/Bristol?
Toulon/Bristol kind of episode. Does he want to win Heineken Cups, or does he want to win Championship levels?
Or is he that player that isn't around much anymore, that player that's a one club man, all that. But then you look at I look at Alan Wynn as like, he's the guy, he's Mr. Ospreys.
Yeah.
And I remember being at, we had Steve Borthwick at Bath, and we had loads of great players, but we had Steve Borthwick was just our leader, and he was spiritual leader, best, most important player in the team. Not necessarily the best player, but the most important player in the team. Mega, mega leader, like amazing guy. When you consider he's not that big, not a massive power carrier, not a big hitter, and he got 57 caps and captained England, you know.
Yeah.
He's a serious asset to a team. Like,
he actually coached us in Bristol for the full 6 weeks, and I've got to be honest, I think he's one of the best coaches that I've been coached by.
Interesting.
I was injured at the time, Thomas. No, he didn't, but I got to be honest, looking at the way he was coaching his methods, I think he's miles ahead of the game.
Yeah, he's such a bright bloke. He's an amazing bloke. But, I mean, long story short, Bath cocked him around with his contract.
Yeah.
And we were like, what are you doing? If he, you know, he's not the sort of bloke to say, I want £1 million when he's worth 200.
Yeah.
He will say, I think I'm worth this. If you give me that, I'll stay no matter what anyone else offers.
Yeah.
And Sarri's came in and offered him, I presume, more for longer.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll stay at Bath. That, you know, and they dicked him around and he left. And I remember thinking, he's left. And I'm sitting there thinking, we've got a load of good players. I don't see how that individual is replaceable. And we really, the Bath rugby lost something that day, that they've had great players since. Stuart Hooper's a great player, great guy. But Borthers was a bit there since he was a kid.
Yeah.
And I feel like if Ospreys lose Alan Wynn, I mean, that is, I don't know how they recover from that in the short term. I think that will take years to recover that.
I totally agree. I think if he goes, then I think you're going to see a big demise from the Ospreys.
It's a shame as well, just when the league, you think, is getting a good bit of PR, you know, they've been added the two South Africa teams, there's talk of Germany, there's talk of America, you know, all these places that you can travel to.
Yeah.
And things are looking up, all the stars are leaving, you know, it's like it's 3 or 4 years too late.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean. But
all right, here's a separate question.
We'll have to crack on, mate, because we're
yeah. But this is a good one, Yanto. What did happen with you and Toulon? Because you were signed there. We're all saying, you know, behind your back. No, we weren't. We're all saying that's a great. We're all saying great signing for them. That's a good signing, good player, that sort of stuff. And then what happened?
Just basically the foreign quota was filled up.
Sun Sea Sand.
I signed early, and the foreign quarter got taken up. I think Perpignan went down. They thought it'd be better to recruit a French second row.
Yeah.
I think obviously Halfpenny did sign, so I presume they'd rather him than myself.
Halfpenny stole your life,
basically. So not
sorry, Jamie Roberts did that to me, mate.
Yeah, so they offered me another a year, like the Joker medical card.
Yeah.
But I just had a family and I signed for... North. So I didn't want anything to do with it. I'd be parted.
So you'd already signed, and then they said, by the way, you can't have that now.
Well, they were just, in a nutshell.
But it's without sounding too, like without generalising too much, that is so French rugby, isn't it?
From what I hear, it is French rugby, but some things... Yeah, it happens for a reason.
Mm. Yeah,
you know, I could have been on the Gold Coast sending it up, but instead I'm in Aberdeen. You know,
not really. But you're so happy, you can tell.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah.
We quickly whiz on. Leicester 24, Gloucester 10, 21-0 after 42 minutes. Ben Youngs, tries.
George Ford. The big difference there is Mike Maloof. Williams. Mike Williams, the big difference.
Yeah, he's South African.
He's South African, but he's English qualified.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh,
or
one of them.
He's from Zimbabwe or something like that.
Yeah.
But he's a machine. Yeah, he loves whacking it in.
Yeah.
And they're different with him.
Carried well, didn't he?
As soon as he plays, I reckon they are on the front foot. Ben Youngs looks better. Fordy looks better. So, yeah, classy.
Dragons the only winner in the Welsh regions this weekend.
It's Big Gav playing.
I think the legend did score most of the points.
Oh, of course he did.
Jack Dixon made a good break for, I think, Amos try and Elliot D scores. So, shout going out to the Dragons.
Boop, boop.
Yeah, well done. Time for our Leo Vegas bet of the week. Last week, Shanks overruled me. He alpha mailed me said Saints over Bath. He was right. I was wrong. So, well done.
Thank you.
So, won all that money for children in need last week with our bet. This week, our bet is going to be on Chiefs against Wasps.
What a game that's going to be. Two teams that play very similar rugby.
How many times this week are we going to hear in a repeat of last season's final? top the league. So Chiefs against Wasps. I say Gopeth coming back in, but that's good news for Wasps. I say without Sippers.
Yep.
Anyway, I think Chiefs will win that, but I think without Sippers, Chiefs definitely win that. So I'm going to say Chiefs by 6 points.
Six points or more, Chiefs.
Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
Get it in you then.
Question time.
All right, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't done my thing. So I haven't got any.
What? What's your thing?
Well, the thing is, right, usually we get people emailing questions, and Michelle, our agent, she's given me the password to the email account, but I've never managed to do it. So she just forwards them all to me, and I read them off my phone.
Yeah.
But she had a migraine yesterday, and she was sick. So she hasn't done it, and I haven't done it.
I got some questions.
And Shanks has got some, and then we can all go home.
Okay.
We're actually going out for lunch after this, aren't we? Where are we going, Shanko?
Turtle Bay.
Nice.
We've been there. Are you staying for lunch or?
Yeah.
Shanks
is paying today. He's paying for all three of us.
Yanto, I've got a question here. Tell us about Lido.
Lido.
In France, down the Champs-Élysées during the 2007 World Cup. That's from T. Shanklin.
Often enough.
Oh, we loved it here this year.
Oh, yeah. It was the greatest piss up ever.
So basically, the World Cup, we were based. Where was the place we were based?
Nantes.
Absolutely in the middle of nowhere. It was the worst place you could possibly be for a World Cup.
Brilliant in the summertime, wasn't it?
Brilliant, yeah, but we were in the winter and it was absolutely crap. The only good place was the crepe restaurant that everybody used to meet anyway.
Have a William.
The William.
It's like chocolate.
The full works.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
So we get a couple off days downtime, and so the boys had arranged day of the races at Longchamp.
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah,
I wasn't very cultured, so I was like, what are we doing? Yeah, horse racing.
All I right. say we all.
Where's the cart?
Where's the cart? Yeah,
it was a big day, right? We got the train down. We got a bus to the hotel
with arm guards,
and everyone's wearing blazers and jeans.
Yeah,
Yano has got this yellow t-shirt on with like little sequins
and always peacock, Thomas. Always peacock.
Stand out.
Yeah,
it's hard to stand out when you're 6'7".
It was hard to stand out.
So everybody was like trainers.
We laugh. It's not far away. Anyway, so they're all blazing up. So I'm like, oh, this is the day off. Like train up. We had arm guards with us. So I was thinking, everybody's cracking cans of Heineken on the train up, playing drinking games. And I'm young at this point. I'm thinking, like, I was injured. I was thinking, I'm just lucky to be involved in the squad in the World Cup. I'm just chuffed to be here. So I'm just going along with it. And obviously you had the senior boys who were like, whoop, whoop.
Shanks
was leading the charge. Like, Tom's the tank. So as we get off the train now, we've got arm guards, the guard, yeah, and we're on this bus, 52-seater bus, and we're going up the Champs-Élysées the wrong way. Literally, just armed police saying it's the wrong way. Boys are chanting. It was absolutely one of the most...
Because we were thirsty. They stopped all the traffic.
They stopped all the traffic. He said, straight there.
We thought we'd be cultured there.
We'd be cultured. We'd have a meal. And by that point, all the boys are hammered, and it's getting loose. And what was the night we went to see the Can Girls?
Yeah, it's called Lido, right? Oh. They do cabaret. But we got there, and it's really posh, and everyone's in sort of suits and black tie, and it's very arty. And they've all got their boobs out with tassels on them and stuff. And
hate that.
It goes really quiet. And we're all stood by the bar watching everyone's all the public are in their seats and stuff, and everyone keeps turning around because we're making a massive noise. Trying to get the round in. All of a sudden, it's deadly silence while these girls are doing a show on the front. All you can hear from the back is Yana going, 5 sambucas, please! it was one of the greatest pictures
it was.
I've ever had.
So afterwards, now, the boys decided, let's all have a photo of them at the end of the show now. And I can't remember who it was, but they tried speaking French to them.
Yeah.
I'm presuming these girls are all French.
I think it was Colin Chavez.
Colin Chavez, yeah, because he spent a couple of years up there playing... Literally, the girls turn on. What you say? Like in most Yorkshire accent, you can ever imagine. I won't do the impression or do it justice.
All right, lads.
Yeah, don't know what you're on about, lads. And it was just. And where was the nightclub?
Oh, I don't know. It was under a bridge somewhere, wasn't it?
Somewhere, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fair play. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, we lost to Fiji.
Oh shit!
And went out to the World Cup.
Oh.
It was absolutely... Yeah.
That's a happy ending.
As we were leaving the hotel, the Fijian bus was driving in and we were leaving back out. Some memorable moments there.
Everything happens for a reason.
Here's a question from D. Flashman of Bath. He's wants to know, what about the fight Tom Shanklin had with Jonathan Thomas once? Were you there? Because Shanks has told me that he filled in JT on the piss.
I wasn't there.
I just stayed in your room, didn't I?
Oh, right, yeah, sorry. are we airing this? Lo and behold, we went to...
No secrets here, mate.
No secrets here, yeah. Waterford in Ireland for the training camp before we toured South Africa for lactic training or some malarkey. So, like anything, when the boys train hard, you get one night off, team bonding. Yeah. I think there's only one way to have a couple of beers.
Yeah.
Boys go beyond limits, gets loose. And then next thing you know, we've got Thomas Shanklin by you and Jonathan Thomas just having a full-on brawl, really. So the boys have split them up thinking, it's like literally being in school and everybody's coming out and they're all chanting and it's like,
fight.
So like, you're like waking up and you think, hang on. So I seen Shanks and all that, split them apart, said Shanks just jump in a room or what have you. Lo and behold, did someone come in and attack with a wicker chair?
No, well,
the wicker chair.
I don't know, I think JT, he can be quite loose now and again, can't he? I might have said, calm down a bit, mate, in the pub. Anyway, he took offence to that. I went home then, fell asleep, and I was staying with JT and someone else.
We're in the same building.
Same sort of chalet. I fall asleep, he comes in, puts a wicker chair around my head.
I will say there's one thing you should know about Shanks is he's got incredible strength. He is very deceiving.
He's got incredible strength. Shanks is freaky strong.
JT and I were having this slagging match and he had these shoes on, were like wetsuit boots, remember them? And he put his boot through the door, right? Kicked the door. So anyway, we're rucking around outside. Like I might have mentioned, I finish on top and then we're pulled apart and like Gatlin comes out and stuff and I think he's going to bollock us.
Yeah.
And he's like just loving it.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah. And I'd stay in Yanto's room then. He had a suite upstairs, king size bed, the lot. Slept on the sofa, I point out.
Obviously.
There's a question here from Peter F. on Twitter. Is Carl Dixon's claim that referees are aerobically fitter than players true or nonsense?
The best thing about that was that on the photo, do you hear about this? So Carl Dixon, the old Quinn scrum half, he's retired. He's now a pro ref, and he's come out and said that refs are aerobically fitter than players. Now, the picture they used on the art, and they post that on social media, wasn't a picture of him. It was a picture of JP Doyle. And I saw JP out in Philadelphia. And his Twitter account is just him getting absolutely abused for saying that refs are fitter than players. You're a fucking this, you're a twat, you're a bellend. It's like, I didn't even say it. They just used a picture of the wrong guy. Anyway, he got battered for it.
But is he saying that like referees could potentially run, 10 miles quicker than a rugby player?
Do you know what? I think that might well be true. They're much smaller. The only conditioning they have to do is running. They don't have any other conditioning.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, would a footballer be fitter than a rugby player in a rugby match? No. But would a footballer run a half marathon quicker than a rugby player?
They run all day, don't they?
Yeah. So I think, well...
You could do Russell Bunny then.
Yeah, but aerobically, aerobic fitness has got not that much to do with rugby. Cause it's about power endurance, aerobic anaerobic fitness. It's not about low-level, steady-state exercise. So that's not what rugby players do. So
yeah, right.
Maybe. A load of lads have come out and said, this is bollocks. I think, well, all the refs are fitter than I was, but I'm not a great gauge. They're all fitter than Goody was. Actually Goody was super fit, by the way. He's like your strength. People don't know Goody was actually mega fit in fitness tests and stuff, but we joke about him. But I don't know, I think, well, if he's done an aerobic test, but do rugby players even do proper aerobic testing anymore?
I don't think so. Gone are the 3Ks or the 5K runs, aren't they?
It's all anaerobic, it's power endurance, it's that sort of stuff. And you know, how good you are over 10Ks,
what's your standing jump in inches?
Exactly. But how good you are over 10 Ks or 5 Ks, it's completely irrelevant now. So it's like saying, you know, guess what?
What?
Rugby players can bench press more than referees. It's like, well, there might be the odd ref that could bench more, but why do they need to?
Quick one here for you, Flats. Short answer, because we're going on a bit.
I can't do short answers.
Stephen Williams on Twitter. Has Ellis Genge Rampage and carries earned him a starting role with England during the Autumn Internationals, or maybe just a finisher.
The thing is, you to put Ellis Genge in, I'd love to see Ellis Genge play more for England. He's an animal, but to put him in, you've got to drop someone.
Yeah.
So it's easy to say, you should pick him. I'm not saying this guy's saying that, or he's a Leicester fan, but every Leicester fan will say, why aren't they picking him? He's brilliant. Like, yeah, but you've got to drop Joe or Marla or Mako. And you can't.
Yeah,
okay. Can't drop those guys. They're too good.
I was lucky enough to play with Ellis Genge. He was obviously a youngster.
Oh yeah, cool.
Within Bristol, and he is absolutely phenomenal. But I think at the minute, I think if he's coming off the bench, he's going to do a lot more damage than what he would do starting at this point. But I'm not saying I think he is going to future star. There's no doubt about that, especially since his move to Leicester.
Yeah, but you know, as a pro prop, you have to be able. If you're going to start, you know, a lot of games, you have to be able to knock in heavy scrums from the very start and keep them going. And he can scrummage very well, but he probably doesn't go as well as Marla yet regularly. Marla just never struggles in the scrum pretty much now.
Yeah, I think like you say, you've just got... I presume that front row is all about experience. Yeah. And I think Marla and you've got Van der Poel as well, they are.
And what Mako does over 80 minutes is unbelievable because he's massive. He's huge. He doesn't look like a super fit athlete. Like Genji's athletic. He's not massive. I mean, Mako's he's bigger than your average shopkeeper, but he's not. You wouldn't walk through town. You'd think he looks like a. If you walk through town, he looks like a bouncer, basically a hard bloke.
Yeah.
But you look at Mako and you're like, he's a giant guy. I mean, he's 100.
You can run moves off Mako as well, though, can't you?
Yeah. He's so I think Mako is. Ball in hand. You've got to drop one of those two, and you can't.
Ben Parker, Twitter player you've played with. Has the strangest pre-match ritual or rituals? Remember any?
Supposedly, Byrne used to like to read a book before he went out.
Same book, upside down. That was
same down book. Yeah, so that was one.
I don't know if we mentioned. Have we mentioned that?
Yeah, we have. We had Bernie on, and he said he'd read a book, and then and then Sean Edwards said, "Are you on the same page you were on 5 weeks ago?" And it's upside down.
Because he's now come out as being dyslexic, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, because I was on the back of the bus, and I said to him, "Bernie, can you smell petrol?" He goes, "Shanks. Can't smell my own name, you dick."
he's got a book out.
John,
someone told me that Bernie's got a book out called The Burn Identity.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
I did hear a rumour, but I didn't think it was.
I checked the date. It wasn't.
Burn after reading. John Thomas used to wear white laces, didn't he? Remember in his Mizunos?
Yes, he used to love them. Putting white laces in the boots or something. But I think he said it's something to made him look French or something.
Yeah.
There's an idea I'm going to
make you look quicker. Yeah, like that. Okay. Pre-match rituals. Danny Grucott used to clip his nails at half time.
Yeah.
Pre-match.
Half time.
I used to floss my teeth actually. I used to find that calm me down a bit.
Yeah.
But he used to sit and clip his nails. Everyone's going mad. Mark Regan once I saw pull up his shorts and pull his pants to the side and piss into a wheelie bin before the match. In a wheelie bin, a dustbin in the changing rooms.
Yeah.
He would have been 4 metres from the urinals.
Okay.
But he stands there and pisses because he's so into it. He doesn't want to leave the team, so he just pisses in the bin. We come back in at half-time and full-time and there's still a couple of pints of piss in the room.
Adam on Twitter has asked you, Yanta, what came first, chicken or the egg, but we've done that. Last one now, right. Tom Stranks on Twitter wants to know, how impressed are you with Sam Underhill's performance? Do you anticipate him starting for England soon?
Yeah, he'll play for England a bit.
Was he coming through the ranks when you were at the Ospreys?
No, he wasn't. No. But to be fair, I think he'll start for England.
Yeah, he's brilliant. And he missed a couple of tackles.
23 tackles he made, though,
didn't he? He made 23 tackles in 67 minutes. And he missed a couple, actually. But, you know, when you're attempting that many, I think he attempted 25, made 23.
Yeah.
Decent first knock. Well, he hasn't played for a few months either.
Yeah.
But he carries, he doesn't quite jackal like Francois Lowe does yet, but who does in the world? Not many. He'll get better at that playing with Francois. He's going to be a mega player if he stays fit, and he'll play for England loads.
Okay. Yeah. One last question here. Shanks,
you said the last one was a lot.
Have you met Nelson Mandela? Yes, I have.
he's even laughing at himself. He's laughing.
Right.
Did That's he say, it. What are you? what is this?
Not calm. Anyway, that brings this pod to an end.
Yeah, thanks, Yanto.
Yanto, thank you for coming on. You can have what you want in Turtle Bay now.
He's going to get a bit of lunch, shall we?
Off the set menu.
This is on Tom Shanklin Enterprises.
Yeah, productions. Yeah.
Production.
Right. Right then, ta-da.
Ta-ra.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.